Well, let's be honest, last week was one of those very strange weeks that started out one way and seemed to end another. We're going to talk about that today and a whole lot more on the program.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Got a lot of things on my mind today. Many of you may know, some of you may not. My recording schedule right now is a little bit skewed because of my current medical treatments that keep me pretty much out of pocket every Thursday and Friday, and will continue to do so for a couple of more weeks. This past week, I finished series number 4 of 6. We have 2 more to go. And during these 6 weeks when I'm going through this therapy, my recording time is very limited between trying to do the church and trying to make sure I've got radio programs for the entire week completed and in the hands of the radio stations and places that play it in a timely manner. I've sometimes had to record the program a couple of days or so in advance. And boy, last week was one of those weeks that I wish I could have stayed up late at night and recorded the program like at midnight to give it to you the next day. But even then, some of the locations have to have it sooner. But boy, just watching the news events unfold. Now, I knew going into last week, the convention in Chicago was going to be a circus. There was no doubt in my mind. It was going to be a phony circus, a bunch of platitudes, nothing important. It was going to be hooray for our side and say nothing about the important items out there in the world today. Ignore them entirely because, you know, what I'm trying to understand, Kamala Harris is telling us all the things she's going to do on day one to fix everything, the stuff they've been breaking for the last 3.5 years. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you have done. You've been there. And stop running away from the term border czar. Everybody used it, including CNN, back in 2021 and 2022. It's only now that she's running for president that suddenly we can't use that term. Suddenly she has nothing to do with the border. I mean, I can remember doing this radio show, a couple of years back, maybe 2.5 years ago. I'm trying to remember. It was sometime in 2021. And she's being interviewed by NBC News. And they actually asked a legitimate question. So have you ever been to the border? Well, no. But I've never been to Europe either. I mean, it was just such a stupid answer. And I can guarantee you that between now and November, everything she does will be totally scripted. And if she ever does any kind of an interview, you know it's going to be phony. You know it's going to be fake. You know it's going to be fraudulent. You know it's going to be have all the answers in advance, all the questions. She's going to be prepared. She is a desperation candidate. Let me explain why. I've thought about this all week. We watched the convention as much as I could stand. I watched some of the speeches, and I was just nauseated with some of the stuff that I heard. And I'm thinking, how did a once somewhat viable America First kind of party descend into such a, freak show? It's what they've become, a freak show. You look at the candidates, you look at their platform. I mean, they don't want to talk about the economy except to say, hey, the economy's great. Just look. I have. It's not. I really have. It's not a good economy. And yet, and I love when they interview people and the people are saying things like, the economy is really good. And then they say, well, give us an example. They have none because there isn't any. I mean, let's put it this way. I'm just going to use a couple of quick numbers off the top of my head. They may be slightly off, but they're correct enough for the purpose. Let's say in 2021, let's say eggs were a dollar something. Then they jumped to $3 and something, and now they're down to $2.80, and they're trying to tell you, hey, the economy's getting better, because it's no longer $3, it's $2.60 or whatever it is. But it's still double what it was just a few years ago. Gasoline, same thing. Hey, it went way up. I can remember watching gasoline go from around $2 a gallon up to close to $4 a gallon. And now it's $3 and something a gallon, like $3.49 in a lot of places. It's still a dollar something higher than it was. Don't tell me it's better. It's not getting better until the price gets below where it started, but it's not going to happen. Because the policies of this administration is to make energy unaffordable, to force you into some electric, idiotic car. I have nothing against electric cars, don't get me wrong. I think the technology is viable in some places and workable and makes sense, but not everywhere. This one-size-fits-all stupidity coming out of Washington shows how intellectually, morally bankrupt Washington, D.C., and the regulators and so many of the politicians are today. And so they talk about climate change and abortion and transgenderism and gay rights. That's all the Democrats have. That's all they had. And, you know, mobile abortion clinics, to make it a festive occasion. Nothing more festive than having an abortion clinic, a mobile abortion clinic at your political convention. That really says what you believe and who you really worship. Then I'm reading about the various prayer rooms all over the convention center. They're all gender neutral, by the way, too. And they had Muslim prayer rugs. And they didn't offend anybody because they didn't have any kind of Christian symbolism in any of those rooms. And then, as somebody pointed out, to have billionaires like Oprah Winfrey talking about, you know, what a struggle, the struggles she has, you know, to make it in this world. This was what was on parade. You had to have a mental illness to be able to believe what they were selling. And unfortunately, in the United States, I really believe a lot of people are that delusional today. They really are. They have been given over to delusion, to believe a lie. They're running around, yeah, the economy's really good, as the gas prices sneak up and down. Yeah, I was thinking the other day what it cost me in 1975, 76, and 77, starting out, newlywed, a house. I can remember the first house, the house payment was around a little over $100 a month. Small house, about 1,100 square feet, 3-bedroom, 1.5 bath, brick. House was new. And at that time, my wife and I together, we made about 2.25 to 2.40 a week. Doesn't sound like much today. But also, this is like almost 50 years ago. And our house payment was $100. I had a car payment of $60. We had power and we had natural gas and we had telephone. So everything regarding the house came out and the big bills, yeah, let's say $400 a month. We were making over $800 a month net. We didn't have trouble buying groceries because, see, you could take $30 to $40 to the grocery store and you could load up. I can remember buying Wonder Bread, you know, the name brand breads. You could get 3 loaves for $1, not 1 loaf for $3. Think about that. 3 loaves for $1, not 1 loaf for $3, which is what it's getting to in some places or more. Inflation has taken a toll. The United States has been off a gold standard for ages, and it's all the good faith and credit, which is becoming bad credit, really, to the world. A lot of the world does not even want our dollars anymore. The bankers really are in control. The warmongers are in control. Those that want perpetual war, perpetual, you know, like the Lindsey Grahams and others that I've mentioned before. They love war. They can't stand not having one. And I've gotten to the point, as many of you, that I simply don't trust my government anymore. Now, I want to talk a little bit before I get, that's something I do want to talk about today. Some of my thoughts and how I'm really feeling and what my heart is saying we need to be prepared to deal with in the not too distant future. But in watching last week's convention, you know, Kamala Harris showed up day one, and then they had all these grandiose speeches, you know, just to rally the troops. And then I could only watch for a couple of minutes. I really had to turn it off. As much as I wanted to hear what the guy had to say, I just couldn't stomach it. When Tampon Tim Walz waltzed onto the stage, and I'm looking at this man, and a man of stolen valor, a man of dishonesty, a man of perversion, a man who I think has sold his soul to the demonic realm. I'm saying that not flippantly. I'm saying it seriously. No God-fearing man that goes to a honest-to-goodness, God-fearing, and Bible-believing church would think it's a good idea to put tampons in the bathroom of fourth graders. I'm just saying. But see, he is so delusional to think that fourth graders can choose their gender, and this is insanity. This is total abject insanity to pass a law. Now, I'm trying to figure what is in the water in those 10,000 lakes in Minnesota to cause this kind of strange thinking and behavior. I know a lot of people that live in Minnesota, most of them in the rural areas, and these people are not crazy. But it seems the people at the state capitol, Minneapolis, St. Paul, these people are crazy, certifiably lunatics. And Tim Walz fits right in. And as he's, you know, dancing and prancing onto the stage to give his speech, the only thing that came to mind was this little clip from a movie a number of years ago called Anger Management.
I feel charming, oh so charming, it's alarming how charming I feel.
Move your
and so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real.
La 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 la.
You know, I'm sorry that I played that to a degree, but not really. It really does fit Tim Walz. The guy is a caricature of stupidity and weirdness. And they call people like, you know, Vance weird. This entire ticket on the Democrat side, it's like, how weird can we get? How strange can we be? How incompetent can the head of the ticket be? In a nation of 300 and some odd million people, these are the top two the Democrats came up with. I mean, let's think about this. Kamala Harris ran in 2020, and she was the first candidate to drop out because she knew she was about to be embarrassed in the first caucuses and primaries. She was going to look pretty bad. And so her advisors told her, not now. You need to back out. Otherwise, your political career is going to come to a crashing and forever burning end. Kind of like Jeb Bush in the Republican Party and a few others. They're toast. They're never going to be anything. They're going to embarrass themselves. And so she got out. And as the primary continued in the Democrat Party back in 2020, they grabbed onto the George Floyd riots, saying that's okay to gather in large numbers for a George Floyd riot, but just don't gather at church. Don't even gather outside for church. Don't even gather in your cars listening on the radio to your church, because you're going to pass around the coronavirus and all this other nonsense that was going on in these blue states. Like Minnesota, like Illinois, and like many, many others, and even including some rhino governors like lock down Larry Hogan in Maryland. He loved to lock things down. I mean, where these people were either so afraid of a virus or they became power-hungry little dictators that just love this power over people. And I think the latter is the most true. California, good example. It's amazing what you can do if you're one of the elites, but if you're just one of the regular, you know, plebes paying the bills, you know, well, you got to stay home. You got to lose your job. You got to lose your house, your car, your savings. We don't care about you. And the pandemic proved one thing. It made the rich wealthier and the poor poorer and the middle class more eroded than ever before. That was the end result of this pandemic. And a lot of illness now because of these phony shots that people took that probably, I don't know anybody that didn't take the vaccine that regrets it. I don't know of anybody. People that I know that refuse to take the vaccine, they all are like, thank you, God, for giving me the wisdom not to take this phony stuff. And I'm telling you, we did not take it. When it was first announced in November after the election in 2020, you know, my wife and I thought about it, but we didn't know anything about what it was. And as they began to explain how this thing works, and I started looking at the website for Pfizer and in particular Moderna, I had this very, very bad feeling. Moderna in particular, their website talked about this mRNA technology as being like a software upload to your genetics in your body. And that just didn't feel right to me. I don't want something messing with the genetics of the human body. You don't know what the outcome is ultimately going to be. And there was no, suddenly questions are being asked. So is it safe? Well, of course it's safe. Well, how do you know? Well, we don't know, but we think it is. So it must be. And they started lying at the CDC. They started lying at the FBA. They were lying at the FDA, and they were lying at the White House. Safe and effective. Hurry out and get your COVID shot today. How many times did Joe Biden, Walensky at the CDC and others, how many times did they get on the TV? Dr. Fauci as well. How many times did those liars get on the TV and tell you with a straight face, get the shot, you will not get COVID, and you can take off your face diaper because you will not get or spread COVID. Just get the shot and be obedient. And real doctors risk their careers. Some lost their careers. Some even lost their licenses for periods of time and are still fighting to get them back because they were right. They warned against these shots not being effective, not being safe, being unnecessary for children and teenagers. Yet you have universities to this day still demanding you get your COVID shot to come to this university. What kind of sick individuals would make a healthy person take a risky mRNA shot? I'm looking at the increase in some strange diseases like turbo cancers that seem to track along with the COVID vaccination rates. And we're told it can't be that. That doesn't, just because the statistics show it doesn't mean it's real. They're still holding on to the lie. Biden has had at least 6 to 8. We're not sure. I think it's at least 6. Some say it may be more, COVID shots and boosters since 2021. And he's had COVID, what, 3 times, maybe 4? Obviously, the idea of not getting or spreading COVID was a lie. And we told you on this program it was a lie because they started calling them in April of 2021 and May of 2021. I can remember doing the program and them saying, oh, these are just rare breakthrough cases. We don't understand. It must be just, you know, it's just super rare, but get the shot and you won't get COVID. Well, maybe 1 in 1,000,000 will. Well, maybe 1 in 10,000, maybe 1 in 1,000, maybe 1 in 2, maybe 1 in 1. I mean, they lied. because they didn't have anything to prove their claims. They didn't exist. And now these documents that Pfizer wanted to cover up for 76 years, they didn't want you to see what they knew. Why would it take 76 years to release the data of what they put together in a matter of months during, quote, Operation Warp Speed? Why was this such an issue? Because they knew in the data people would find out they lied. And increasingly, as this data continues to trickle out, they did. A lot of them did. You know, up until the pandemic, and I've said this before, maybe this is the first time you're hearing it, Moderna, good example. Moderna was a company founded many years ago wanting to build on this concept of the gene therapy, mRNA, you know, messenger RNA vaccines or treatments. They didn't even call them vaccines. They had to change the definition of the word vaccine to be able to include this experimental mRNA platform. And for years, they had been working with this mRNA platform. Others had as well, Pfizer, many companies were looking into this technology, and nobody was having any success at all. Everything failed, or they were dangerous. They either didn't do what they expected, or they caused side effects and other issues that were just way too dangerous. So you got this guy by the name of Stéphane Bancel from France, traveling the globe, raising tons of money, selling stock, and promising any day now we're going to have a medical breakthrough that'll cure everything from cancer to male pattern baldness. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, this is what they were promising this amazing technology to cure everything. Probably halitosis and stinky feet. I mean, who knows what they were going to promise next? But year after year, nothing was happening. Before the pandemic, in 2019 and into early 2020, before the pandemic really kicked in, Moderna was considering making conventional vaccines, you know, like flu vaccines and all that stuff, because they had no product to sell. And they've been raising all of this money for all of these years and had nothing in the marketplace, zero, nothing. They were spending all of this money on research, development, beautiful office buildings and furniture and advertising and websites and ways to convince people to invest in Moderna. And some of the investors were beginning to get a little bit antsy, like, okay, you've been promising for 5 years or 9 years or 10 years. When's the payoff coming? We need to see a company that has a viable income, that has a pathway to making money and not relying on people dumping money in to keep your offices and your research open with nothing coming out. And then came the pandemic. And many of you fully understand what I have come to conclude back in 2020. People call it a plandemic for a reason. Event 201, New York City, held in October of 2019, talking about a coronavirus coming to South America, getting into a pig, and from a pig to a farmer, and then the farmer to the globe, and we have to lock everything down, and people are dying, and we have no vaccine. That was a tabletop exercise. We knew in early 2017, as Donald Trump was inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States, a little unknown cockroach by the name of Anthony Fauci is saying, the next president, meaning Trump, is going to have a real world, a global pandemic, the likes we've never seen before. It's coming. How did he know that? How did he know in 2017 the world would have a pandemic? And suddenly, you know, with all the planning, and understand, for several years before Event 201, places like Johns Hopkins University Medical School were developing these dashboards that cities and counties and states and the federal government could use to track, you know, infections and hospitalizations and deaths. All of this was built for Event 201, and we just happened to be able to roll it right out in March of 2020. When the pandemic was declared, we had instant magical stuff to work with. It had been pre-planned for several years. I've told you, if you're a regular listener, my being called out of retirement back into emergency management, and I came in, as I've said before, and I'll remind you again, with an open mind and an open heart to help people. And over the next couple of months, it became increasingly obvious that I was being asked to lie, being asked to give a false narrative. And the numbers we were told about deaths and infections to expect were totally bogus. And I worried that this would destroy our nation. And thus, in May, when I walked away from that work and returned home, I thought about it over the summer about what can I do to get information out. There were two things increasingly becoming a concern to me. The election of 2020 was just around the corner in November, and they keep moving the goalpost on COVID to get a desired outcome and effect on the American people and the world. And it's all based upon a lot of lies. And people say, well, Bob, what about all those that died? Most of them died because of the hospital protocols, not from COVID. Some people may have died with COVID that had heart attacks, cancer, and other diseases. I know people that were called there's actual documentation of people killed by gunshot that were listed as COVID deaths because they had been had the PCR test and they had tested positive for COVID within so many days of being shot by a gun. So they're dead of COVID, not the gunshot. This is what was going on. And the fear mongers over at Mind Syphilis NBC, you know, were just, you know, on the death watch. And it's in that environment that they were able to make some decisions, the Democrat Party, that is. They looked over their field of candidates and knew they had nothing but losers. Joe Biden wasn't even doing that well as he ran, and he says he ran because of what he heard about Charlottesville, which is a debunked lie. The guy's just a liar, and everything. Nothing he said in his speech was true. I watched as much of it. He was yelling at America. Just yelling, 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 and most of what he was yelling was lies. Untruths or half-truths. The man is a demented, sick, perverted individual, and he's sitting in the White House, mentally compromised and physically compromised, and he's the leader of the free world? He was the best America could do in 2020? No, he was the illusion the Democrats could create, keeping him in the basement in 2020. Selling him as that nice grandpa to make America peaceful and loving again. Just like an old grandpa. All of that was a lie. Every bit of it. The man has systematically, because of his handlers, have done more to destroy the United States in ways I never would have dreamed possible just 25 years ago. We are becoming a very perverted nation. And they try to convince me that the 2020 election was thoroughly above board, the safest election ever. The same people that screamed that it couldn't be possible in 2016 that Trump really won. It had to be hacked voting machines or Russian collusion or something else. No, Biden didn't get a record number of votes in 2020. Legitimately. He may have gotten them. I still believe the election was tainted, not in some big fashion, but in hundreds of small ways that could be done almost without notice. I don't trust those that run this nation. And when I get back, I've got a couple of quick stories that I want to share, kind of wind up my thoughts about last week's convention. You got to give, whether you like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or not, you got to give him credit. He just took all the wind out of the sails and rained on the Democrats' parade within less than 24 hours of the coronation of Kamala. I'll share more of things that I'm concerned about and some of the things that we together need to be doing. But right now, we need to take this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I'm hoping to have Edward Zoll on this week. I'm looking forward to that. He puts together such an excellent report. And it really has been a godsend and a huge blessing to me. Have others that have been contributing as well. And we'll be hearing from them, I'm sure, this week. I remind you, your prayers are coveted as we do session number 5 of 6 this Thursday. And it pretty much gets me out of the loop all day Thursday. And I'm just in no condition to record anything or do anything much on Friday. It takes all the way into Saturday to recoup. So we have to put a lot of radio programs together in a short amount of time, plus get things ready for the church on Sunday. You know, there is some preparation. It's not that we just have 1 hour a week. There's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes to be prepared for each Sunday. So your prayers, I thank you for your prayers in advance, and hopefully we'll be able to get back to some kind of a normal schedule within 2 weeks. A lot of things happening, and I'm just kind of excited about some of the things that are going on in the background. I know we live in a very difficult time. I get it. I know we are really on a precipice, to say the least, for this nation. Our nation could easily go under rapidly in the not-too-distant future. I really believe that. And it's because not so much just some of the weirdness of the Democrat Party, it's the weirdness that goes on underneath the surface of what is called the globalist, the deep state, whatever you want to call it. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, why am I so concerned? What is on my mind that makes me think that the worry that I have? Do our votes really count like they used to anymore? I don't think so. I felt strongly in 2020, and I warned you as we began this radio program. By the way, this Friday marks the end of doing 4 years of programs, and a week from today, we enter our fifth year, 5 years. And I wondered way back as we started in 2020, would this program last the pandemic? Would it make it past the election? Would it make it into 2021? I really didn't know. I really had no idea. And I warned you as we started, and as we got into September, and especially in mid-October, I had a lot of people that I know, friends of mine, and now by this time, some new listeners to a program being heard on shortwave, contacting me and saying, why are you so worried about the election, Bob? You know, Trump's got it in the bag, man. He can't lose. Look at the rallies. He gets all these people out there in spite of COVID. And Biden gets, you know, a person standing inside of an 8-foot circle, you know, located 12 feet apart, outdoors wearing face diapers. You know, gets 10, 15, 20 people. And that's a big rally. And we were being told, you know, people on the conservative side were saying, hey, man, we got it in the bag. No problemo. And I warned people then, do not take this for granted. Do not stay at home and think, well, I live in South Carolina or I live in Georgia, you know, a really red state. Trump's going to win, so you really don't need my vote. Well, in Georgia, they did. Because there was enough funny business going on in Georgia that I know about that disturbs me to this day. Don't tell me that 100 people descending on a tiny county in the middle of the state of Georgia, you know, maybe 50 miles away from Macon, don't tell me that 100 people just show up, register to vote, get a mail-in ballot, vote, and then vanish off the face of the earth. And when you go to verify their addresses, they are farm fields, a national forest, and places where no homes had ever been built, no tent, no mobile home, not even a beat-up old pickup truck with homeless people in it. And in some county of maybe 15,000, 16,000 people, these 100 people descended in, and under the setup that Governor Kemp and Raffensperger allowed, they registered, you know, because of coronavirus, of course, you didn't have to do all this regular stuff. You know, the deal made with Stacey Abrams allowed these shenanigans to go on. Well, Bob, that's just 100 votes. Yeah, but Georgia has 159 counties. 100 phony voters in 159 counties is 15,900 phony votes. Trump lost by 11,000. That's enough right there to turn the election. But no, Fannie Willis is saying, you have a RICO case here. You're colluding to overturn an election. No, we want to know what you people in Georgia did to rig the election, to allow cheating to occur. And everybody that did that should be held accountable and probably spend some time in prison. Literally. and to bring such garbage charges from an immoral lady with her lover, you know, getting paid $600,000 of taxpayer money, who's never prosecuted a criminal case in his life, knows nothing about RICO law, that shows the moral caliber of Fannie Willis, which means no character, no morals, unfit. But she's in a very blue and decrepit city. I mean, it's a city of money and perversion today. Of course, it always has been to a degree. And I can remember when I first went to Atlanta many, many years ago to work. The idea of being in a big city sounded great. I lived in Cobb County and commuted. The traffic was terrible. The construction was awful. Money was fair. But Atlanta, I used to have to go repair a radio station's transmitter site in downtown Atlanta on a huge tower. And there were more gay bathhouses around, strange people, and prostitutes all over. The town is just crawling back then with prostitutes and gay bars and gay bathhouses. And some really strange people that would, you know, come onto the property and try to get in. So, yeah, Atlanta has had its share of issues for many, many years. And so Fannie Willis just represents the best that Atlanta has to offer. Corruption and degradation. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. So Georgia's, they lost two Senate seats and the presidency through Georgia. And it's amazing how Governor Kemp had to fix things real quick after that so he could get reelected. And now they're letting him slide back to the same garbage and silliness of 2020. I wonder why. I hope that you folk in Georgia don't take it for granted this time. And I know a lot of people that did. I have people that I know personally that stayed home thinking, hey, there's no way Trump can lose Georgia. You don't need my vote here in Rabun County or Stevens County or Franklin County or Habersham County. You don't need my vote. He's going to win by a landslide. You lost two Senate seats and the White House. What were you not understanding? So just so you know. And like I say, last week, you know, Robert Kennedy just took the wind out of their sails. You know, there's a lot of things that I do not agree with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on. There's a lot of things. And I'd be unable to want to vote for him for president for certain things that he does believe in. But he is right about several things. He is concerned about freedom of speech. He's concerned about medical freedom. He's concerned about a fraudulent political system, as you and I should be, and I know many of you are. I know that I am. He talks about America's poor health, and he's right. He's right. America is not near as healthy today as it was 30 years ago. I know we have some miracle drugs and some miracle antibiotics out there, and that's one of the reasons that we last longer. But our overall health is down. Cancer is up. You know, and so I have to agree with him. Somebody pointed out, if you want to keep your kids healthy, don't take them to health screenings where they vaccinate 86 different vaccines into a kid just to go to elementary school. He's probably right. Why is autism so much higher today than it was 30 years ago? And you don't dare mention vaccines being a possibility, or they shut you down, or Facebook shuts you down. Somebody pointed out, somebody tried to post, you ready for this, to give you an idea where fascist book is today. That's Facebook for everybody else. Somebody tried to post the speech of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Facebook, and it was taken down because it violated their community standards. Facebook is in bed with the Democrat Party and the most vilest people in the United States. They allow perversion. They allow all kinds of weirdness. But truth is banished from Facebook. And I'm also glad that the Supreme Court is allowing the Robert F. Kennedy lawsuit against the Biden White House to go forward for collusion and censorship using, you know, pressure they should not be on social media. You know, I was concerned when the Supreme Court wouldn't hear a case a while back, but now they have in this one because, well, Robert F. Kennedy has standing and he's actually been damaged by these companies. And I'd love to see a resolution really soon. I want to spend a little time before this program ends today thinking about what we need to be preparing for. I asked the question, and look, we have rigged polls out there. You know it. And we've warned about this, these push polls, to try to, you know, make some people say, oh, it's hopeless. They're trying to say that Kamala coming into the race is energized and she's so far ahead of Donald Trump and everybody else. You know, just stay home, you lousy conservatives. We don't need your vote. You're going to be embarrassed anyway. So just stay out of it. That's how we lose the House and the Senate. And I'm afraid in New York, with some of the weird mail-in stuff they're doing there, that some toss-up seats will be tossed to the Democrats by, shall we say, cheating. I think it could happen. I think New York is corrupt enough under a corrupt governor like Kathy Hochul. I mean, she is just an awful individual. I mean, she was put on the ticket years ago as almost insurance that they would never get rid of Cuomo. It didn't work. And then she was... She's just a very despicable individual, and I listened to her speech at the Democrat convention, and she lied about how great Buffalo, New York is. Buffalo used to be a big, very industrious city. Now it looks like something that was bombed out in World War II. And with drug dealers on the streets and houses caving in, it's not the city that it once was. So don't brag about a city that has trashed itself out, Kathy. I'm concerned deeply that those people that run the deep state, I have to wonder, and I've been reading reports that I can't verify, but would it surprise me if the CIA that did in John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy would not surprise me at all. They had been meddling in world affairs, upsetting elections, putting free people in bondage and causing warfare and stress and just pain and suffering everywhere. The CIA. Do I think they had a hand in what happened on the 13th of July to Donald Trump? You bet I do. I don't trust any of them anymore. I don't trust some of the people in the Secret Service. I don't trust some of the people at the top of our military anymore. They're sold out. They're just sold out for money and power. They're bought and paid for. And all they care about is what's in it for them, like the Bidens. The Bidens, you know, Joe Biden got into office at age 29, was elected, served after he turned 30. He turned 30 before he had in time to be in the Senate, and spent all these years since 1973 making millions upon millions of dollars. And he used to complain about being the poorest member of the Senate. Well, he figured out what to do. I'm sure that somebody said, hey, just sell out your country. You get rich doing that. And he did. He certainly did. And many others have done the same. I saw this other story, Adam Kinzinger. He's a former congressman from Illinois, allegedly a conservative, and he spoke at the Democrat National Convention. You're not a conservative. He's still saying, I am a conservative Republican. No, you are not. Conservative Republicans would never associate with Moloch-worshipping, baby-killing, baby- and child-butchering evil individuals. You would not spend any time with them. You would stand as far away from them as possible. So you are a fake, a phony, and a fraud. You know, you're in the John Bonner class of clowns and rhinos and others that have destroy the Republican Party. Oh, you say the right things at the right time. Oh, you voted against Obamacare when it was safe to do so because you knew that Obama would never sign that bill. You knew that. And as soon as Trump gets into office, somehow it didn't come back up again. I wonder why. It was tried, and then you could, and John McStain made sure that we were stuck with Obamacare. After pledging to get rid of it, at the last minute, it was, you know, stick your nose at Trump. You know, just you know, I'm going to get you. And by that one vote, we were stuck with it forever. I don't trust my government anymore. I just don't. Our government is full of corrupt and evil individuals that just are not trustworthy. Sorry, I hate to say it that way, but it's true. We need to be more prepared to take care of our own needs. Major disaster comes, don't count on the government to fix it. They're probably the ones that'll cause most of our disasters and troubles. I learned back in 2010 in preparing one of the largest homeland security drills in my time in emergency management that FEMA is the most inept organization on the planet, period. Period. They bought in their big beast of a vehicle, which is a huge, like, moving van size thing that all the sides come out and it becomes this monstrous building with all this equipment, and nobody knew how to run anything in their own building, and they just sat there and didn't even participate because they didn't know what to do. FEMA is thoroughly screwed up from the top down, and it's part of the Department of Homeland Security. Or homeland insecurity. I knew a guy since retired. He retired, I think, in 2011. And he had worked in emergency management at the federal level for many years. And he was just fed up. I knew him by a fake name because he's what they would call a spook. You know, you didn't know his real name or where he really lived because he worked a lot of, you know, clandestine stuff. But I got to know him. And we were talking one afternoon privately, and he goes, you know, I'm retiring, and he said, I may leave the country. He said, I'm getting where I can't even trust my own government. I try to do what I know is right, but I can't trust him anymore. I can't trust this administration. That was the Obama administration at the time. He said, they're trying to change the terminology. You know, we're not allowed to talk about Islamic terrorism anymore. It's just man-made disasters. They're trying to cover up and hide things. And he said, they're trying to also strip away one little freedom at a time that you don't even notice. He said, the day is coming when they'll track every move using your cell phone. And every purchase you make, you'll need that phone. You'll need that Mark of the Beast device with you. How many of you got an email or saw the video on Facebook that was put out by Amazon? You may have gotten an email. You may have seen it on Facebook or other social media. This wonderful idea. You no longer need to carry your wallet when you want to make a purchase. Just come in and use your right hand. And wave your right hand in front of the little magic box. And what happens when you wave your hand in the front of the magic box? You're allowed to buy something and go out of the store with it. You don't even need to have money anymore. You don't even need to have a credit card. You don't need anything. Don't even need your phone. Just need your hand. And if you're missing your hand, they can, you know, look at other parts of your body like your head. Getting a little creepy? Is your church ready to face the reality that's coming sooner than later? I hear a freight train around the corner. The tracks are beginning to vibrate. And I think that we are about to be in a world of hurt. I know a lot of people. I know a family off the top of my head. You know, they come to church occasionally. They need to be there more. But there's always something else better to do or a way to make an extra dollar. That seems to be more important than worshiping God. I'm reminded of the parable of the guy that had such a great bumper crop, he decided to tear down his barns and build new ones. Soul of my soul, I'm going to be so wealthy. And the Bible says that his soul was required of him that night. So what did all that, did it benefit him at all? No, it didn't. I think many Americans have their priorities completely dead wrong. They believe in politics and their ability to fend for themselves, and they push God to the side. You got to fix that. Like now. If you believe in our mission and ministry, would you consider supporting us today? We are really desperately needing it. Would you visit our website, truth2ponder.com? You can support us today using Give, Send, Go. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.